Well, we've been in a series called Guard Your Heart, and this is the eighth one, I believe. So if you didn't hear those previous ones, I encourage you to go back, listen to them online, because we can't possibly go back and review everything that we already covered. We've been building. Each one's been building on the other, but I encourage you to go back and listen to them. It'll mean much more to you. Let's go ahead and turn over to Proverbs 4:20. We'll recap a little bit where we were last time and then go forward. It's been a few weeks since we were together speaking on this. Proverbs 4:20 through 24, it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." He said in verse 20, "Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them," where? "In the midst of your heart." His words. Verse 22, "For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Now, in the New Living Translation, verse 23 on your sheet there says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." It's a pretty strong statement. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And that's what we've been talking about. And we're not going to go back through everything that we've covered. But it's important what we let in. It's important what we look at, what we choose not to look at, what we hear, what we choose not to hear, places we go. This has a major effect on us. What we let in determines where we go. And so we've talked about, covered some of those things. Look on your sheet there, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now we covered this, we're not going to go back here, but we talked about simplicity. Just meaning the opposite of duplicity, being divided. It can mean deceitful, but going in different directions. Simplicity is just being centered. When something is simple, in the sense of not, you know, simple, dumb, or ignorant, but simple, pure, unspoiled, clear, concise. You know, when you have a simple solution, that means it's not encumbered by a bunch of junk you don't need. It's clear. If you can make something simple and explain it in a simple manner, that means you actually understand it. Yeah. If you start waving your hands and you're over here, "Yeah, well, I don't know about this and that," that means you're not really clear. If you can make it simple and explain it to somebody that doesn't understand, that means you know what you're talking about. Well, your life, and we got into this. In this day and age, it's always been like this. Humanity tends to be like this, but it's just exponentially, you know, worse in this day and age. It's complex from the sense that people complicate things unnecessarily and introduce things into their lives and our lives unnecessarily. We have a bunch of noise in our lives if we're not careful. It's the potential's there, let me put it that way. I mean, you carry around devices that, I mean, they're there all the time, and there's a constant inflow of information. Well, that wasn't there like that 20 years ago, not even 10 years ago, the way things are now. But, you know, you go back 40 years, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, they had to, even on the phone, I mean, you had, there's just the phone ringing, there wasn't, let's see, 40 years. So that's going to be 78, there wasn't caller ID. You didn't even know who was calling, and they tried to get a hold of you. I mean, there was no email. They certainly didn't have anything handheld that you could actually carry. I mean, at that point, I mean, mid-80s, like I said before, like, you know, my dad was a home building business. He got a a Motorola bag phone in the mid-80s. I mean, the thing, if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, it's literally, you know, about that tall, about that wide, and about that long. You carried it, and it's got a handset on it, and it's got a big antenna. That was a mobile phone, but he would put it in his truck and go around to job sites and stuff. That saved him money to make it worth it. But no, people weren't going around like this with a phone everywhere. And certainly not in the 70s. I mean, you couldn't do that. So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, it was a lot more difficult. You could have a lot more silence if you wanted. You just don't answer the phone. If somebody had to come to your house or whatever. Well, now it's not like that. All the stuff on TV, all the stuff on your phone. I mean, there's a lot of ungodly influence. And so we got to weed that out. So when we talked about simplicity, we're talking about what is really necessary to get rid of this stuff. Well, that when you cut out certain things, it won't have a pull on you. It won't have an influence on you. And so we're not going to recap some of that. You know, go back and listen to the messages. But we got into last time, you know, really when we're talking about our heart and the core of ourselves, the man is a three-part being. We just touched on this. We're not going to get into this in depth, but we're going to pick up where we left off last time. But just in recapping, look on your sheet at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." May your whole spirit, soul, and body. We are a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. Your body is not you. Your body is the vehicle you get around in on this earth. Just like your car is not you. That's how you got here. Well, you're going around in this body to say it's your body, but it's not you. You're going to leave this body, but you'll still be you. And so your heart, the very core of your being, is your spirit. The Bible says, and actually we started, we're on Wednesdays, we teach and preach on faith and healing. And we just got into a series called What It Means to Believe with Your Heart. And we're going to be teaching on some of this stuff in depth. But here, we just went over some of these scriptures just to talk about the fact that we are a spirit. When we're talking about, we'll get into it, believing with your heart, the part of you that you believe and have faith with is your heart. So when we talk about guarding our heart, we want to guard our faith. And we'll get into this. I'm getting a little bit ahead of us. But you want to be strong spiritually in order to deal with life. And what you put in makes all the difference. So 1 Peter 3:3, it says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel." Verse 4, "Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." The hidden person of the heart. So you don't see other people's spirits. You know, right now I'm looking at you. You are looking back at me through those windows that we call eyes. But your eyes aren't you. We went into this, you know, there's the account of Lazarus and the rich man, and they died. And they could see each other. But they were dead. And it talks about, you know, the rich man says, dip your finger, have Lazarus dip his finger and touch my tongue. Well, he's dead. He doesn't know body at this point. Well, you are a spirit. When you leave here, you're going to still be you, and we're going to recognize each other in heaven. Now, thank God you're not going to have this body that we're getting around here. You don't want it. I mean, it's not built to last. 500 years from now, you're not going to want the thing that you're in right now. It wasn't built for eternity. You're going to get a new one, but even without a body, you're going to be existing. Now, you have a mind and a will and emotions. That's what's not a spirit and not your body. Your mind, will, and emotions you'll have with you, but that's not your spirit. That's not your heart. And so it talks about the hidden man of the heart. We're talking about your spirit. Verse, and again, go we have other ones that we get into this more. On Wednesdays, we're going to be getting into this a little bit more detail, but we touched on this last time, just going to go a little bit further. There's some things I really wanted to get into after this, but we're recapping a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and that's what I mean. I can't catch you all up completely today, as we just re-preached the last several sermons. So go back and listen to them. 2 Corinthians 5, actually just 17, we can touch on 21, but it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Well, let me ask you a question. When you got born again, did your body become new? No. Did your mind blank out and become back to, you know, when you were a baby? No. So what did? Your spirit was the new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, can you put up, I didn't put on your sheet, but verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That part of you that's righteous, it's your spirit. Because that's the real you. You've been declared righteous. But your body will do what you tell it to do. But you let it do what it wants to do, it's not going to go just in the direction of righteousness. Anybody else? You know that? No, it's going to, you know, but you got to just tell it what to do. And, you know, it'll do what you want it to do, and it'll get trained. And then after a while, say, oh, yeah, we like this. No, you didn't like that. But, you know, it's like you when you work out. Your body doesn't want to work out, but after work out, after you work out, it's like, oh, yeah, we did that. Yeah, it felt good to do that. No, you didn't want to do it. If you ask your body, it did not want to do it beforehand. But afterwards, if you get it into a habit, it'll do that. It's not good or bad, but just if the flesh will tend towards negativity unless you discipline it. 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, your outward man's perishing. The outward man is decaying. Everything in this world is decaying. Your car is decaying. Your clothes are decaying. I mean, over time, you know, 300 years from now, you look, you know, you don't want anything. Most things 300 years old, doesn't matter how good condition they tried to keep it, it's still decayed. Right? And there aren't any people around from 300 years ago. Not alive. In body. Right? They're all alive, but they're not here. So your outward man is perishing, but your inward man is being renewed. John 4:23, it says, this is Jesus, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, or that New King James says that, but you look at it in several other translations, it says is a spirit. I mean, he's not spirit in the sense of, you know, people get now woo-woo like, oh, it's just spirit. No, he's a spirit being. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. With your heart. See, yeah, we just got done singing. That's your body singing, and your mind's telling your body what to do. But none of that makes any difference if you're not worshiping from the heart. See, your heart should be dictating what's coming through your mind and what your body's doing, because people do it all the time. They're singing the words, but their heart is not anywhere near God. So true worship is from your heart, is from your spirit. And the Bible says we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that's that. The heart is the core part of our being. Now, Romans 10:8. Go ahead and turn over there. This is kind of where we just tipped into this, and this is where I want to pick up and go forward with this time. Romans 10:8. And our two series are kind of touching here, and the go away on Wednesdays. Like I said, we just started this series called What It Means to Believe with the Heart, but we're going to touch on that and talk about some different aspects of it. That happens sometimes. Romans 10, verse 8, it says, what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe where? In your heart. That God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we touched about a little bit on Wednesday on this. You don't believe to righteousness. You don't get saved by believing with your head. You don't get saved by believing with your big toe or your finger, and not your physical blood pump either. When the Bible's talking about your heart, most of the time it's talking about your spirit. You're not talking about your physical blood. You don't believe God with this organ in here. You believe God with your spirit. How do you get born again? You believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So this is why I mentioned this on Wednesday. It's not... You can talk about things surrounding the faith and talk about logistics and dates and all that stuff, but if you're trying to convince somebody with their head about being a Christian, you're misguided, because ultimately how they're going to become a Christian is but believing with their heart. It's not about convincing their mind. That's not to say there isn't convincing facts about Jesus and about God, but you're trying to convince the wrong part of the person. You can know certain things about God, and there is a defense for all things, but at the end of the day, they're going to have to step out in faith and believe with their heart. It doesn't matter who it is. The Bible says you come to God believing with your spirit. Your spirit's the part of you that's going to be eternal. And your mind is too, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. But that's not the part that you believe with. So it says, verse 9, that if you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you need to believe with your heart. And I don't want to get into this too much, but an example. If you want to try to explain to somebody the virgin birth and convince them intellectually, you could have a tough time. At some point, somebody's got to say, the Word of God says it. I believe it, and step into it. You're going to convince them that the blood of Jesus, like what we were talking about in communion, the blood of Jesus paid for everybody's sin. Convince somebody intellectually and explain to them mathematically how that's so. And until they do that, they can't be born again. That's a lost cause. At some point, people are going to say, I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he is who he said he was, that he came in the flesh, and he was born of a virgin, that he died, and he rose. Explain the fact that he rose from the dead. You will have to believe. But it's with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, let's just look on your sheet. On Mark 11, 22. We can keep moving. Touched on this too. Mark 11, 22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt where? In his heart, but believes. Where do we find it? Where do you believe? With your heart, but believes those things, you could say believes in your heart, that though, or believes in his heart that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe, where would you be believing? In your heart, that you receive them and you will have them. We're not talking about your head. Now, we're going into this in detail on Wednesday, but here we are saying it's not with your mind or your body that you're believing. It's with your heart. Talks about not doubting in his heart. Believe with your heart. So faith is of the heart. When we talk about having faith, we're not talking about Bible faith. We're not talking about intellectual, just natural human faith. In other words, you can have faith in somebody because you've seen them do something. You're going by what you see, so then you believe that they'll do something. Like, I believe that this chair will hold me. Well, you know, naturally, I've sat in one of these chairs a lot. I've kind of already seen that. That's not believing. But if I came up to a chair, you know, that was really rickety and looked like it was about 150 years old and was like, you know, one of the legs was barely there, and I said, I believe that thing will hold me. Well, I don't have it. If I'm going by what I see, I don't believe anything, because that's what natural human faith does. It's just going by what it sees. Bible faith is believing what God said, taking His word and believing it. Now, where do you believe? You believe with your heart. Now, why are we getting into this? Why are we touching on this? Because we've talked about guarding your heart. Why does that matter? Because faith is of the heart, and certain things can help your faith or they can hinder your faith. Your faith can be strong. Your faith can be weak. Go ahead and look at your sheet there. Let's see a few examples of this. Mark 4, verse 39. So Jesus, the disciples are going across the water there, and Jesus is rebuking the storm. He says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? Well, why would they be fearful? They're looking at what they see. And these guys are fishermen, so that had to be like some kind of storm, because these guys aren't like, it's the first time out in the boat. But they're going by what they see. But Jesus asked them, why are you so fearful? Well, one answer, it's because what we see. But why is that trumping what you should believe? They've been walking with Him. But look at the next statement. It said, why are you so fearful? How is it you have what? No faith. No faith. They have no faith. Now, go to Matthew 16, 7 and 8. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, Is it because we have taken no bread? You know, because they're talking, Jesus said, you know, watch out for the leaven, the Pharisees said, and all, and he's saying, it's because we didn't bring any bread. He's like, no, guys, I'm not talking about that. And they're saying, it's because we didn't take any bread. Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of what? Little faith. Why do you reason among yourself because you have brought no bread? So here, he said little. The other time he said, you don't have any. Well, now they have little, but that's not good. Look at Matthew 8, verse 8. This is the account of the centurion. Comes to Jesus about his servant. Centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found what? Such great faith in all of Israel. So we see, you can have no faith, you can have little faith, you can have great faith, well, you can have everything in between. But how does that get that way? Romans 10, 17. Go ahead and put that up on the screen. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It comes by hearing what? The Word of God. Bible faith comes by hearing the Word of God. How would someone get born again, like we were talking about earlier? They hear the Word of God on the fact that Jesus came and He died. He was born, He was buried, He was resurrected. He paid the price for our sin. And they heard that, and that if you believe on Him, you can be saved. That's the Word of God. Now, what do we know by this verse? Faith comes when somebody hears that. Where does it come? It's in the heart. But you have to act on it. So how do we get faith? By praying for it? No. By begging for it? No. By hearing what God said. So, What we hear matters a lot. Go over and turn over to 1 Peter. First Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may what? Grow. That you may grow. Well, is he talking about, he's not talking about as newborn babes, what? Are these babies he's talking to? Just physically? No. They're going to grow up spiritually. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. Because as you hear the word, faith's going to come. Now you have an opportunity to act on it. And it's just like natural. Just like, you know, you eat food, but then which gives your body nourishment, but then you have to exercise your body. If all you do is eat, that's your body's not going to be healthy as it should, right? What you eat is very, very, very important. But what you do with it is important. Well, you got to exercise, and you have to act on the word. But we say, you see, faith is of the heart, and we need the word of God so that we can grow. Go ahead and turn over to Ephesians 4, 11. I know we're turning to a lot of scripture today, but that's good. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Everybody there? It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man. When you see that word, when you see perfect in Scripture, it doesn't mean flawless, it means mature. It means grown up. Complete is another way to say it. A complete man, mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, Jesus is our example. Who are we trying to grow up into? We'd want to be like Jesus. He's our standard. Verse 14, that we should no longer be what? Children. Well, who's he talking to? He's talking to just children? I mean, like physical? No. See, he's talking to people that are physically adults, but inside, the children. Tossed, that we shouldn't be tossed to and fro, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about, but with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We talked about this. Some will just touch on it, and you can go back and listen to other messages. It matters what you put in, even when it's so-called Christian. There's a whole lot of so-called Christian that isn't really based on the Word of God, and what it's talking about here, exactly, that children, spiritually, are tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. They hear something, they go over here and go, ooh, goody, goody. We believe that. Oh, wait, this guy's preaching now. He's really cool. Oh, we listen to him. Oh, wait, there's another new guy. And they're just unstable. It matters what you put in. We got to be careful what we put in, because it will affect your faith. And we went into that in some detail. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. How are you going to grow up? You're going to hear the truth, speaking the truth in love. What's the truth? Well, it's the Word of God. Look at the next. We just read that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. But look at on your sheet, John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Look at the next verse, John 17, 17. Sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. Jesus said, I'm the truth. He just said, your word is truth. And look at John 1, 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who's that?
Jesus.
Jesus is the Word and the truth. The truth is Jesus. The Word is Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, how are we going to grow up? We need to hear the truth spoken in love. What comes when you hear the Word? Faith. So, as you grow in faith. You know what it means to be strong spiritually? It means that what you believe in your heart dictates what you do, what you say, what you think. People say, well, I'm really strong spiritually, but they don't let what the Bible says dictate what they do. Not strong spiritually. How would you do that? Your faith is strong. You act on the Word in spite of circumstances. Why? Because you believe something, because you're strong. How are you going to tell this body what to do? And you got to renew your mind to what the Word of God says. But what's going to be the strength? Your spirit, man, needs to be strong. We need to grow up. And just like you can grow up, you can let stuff in that damages your faith. In other words, you're not steady state. You get to a certain point and now you can just coast. So it's not like this, okay? You're growing up and now you just stop doing anything to grow, so you just can coast now until you decide to grow again, then you just grow a little bit. It does not work like that. You regress. You can be weak, you can have no faith. You can have some faith, you can be strong in faith. You need to feed. We all need to feed on the Word of God. Let me ask you, are you living purely on the strength of what you ate a year ago? Well, if it's like, no, I'm strong, man. I'm at the weight I want to be. I'm done, man. I'm just going to coast now. I can eat whatever I want. I don't have to do any exercise. If I want to eat, I'll eat. If I don't want to eat, I'm good. If you said that naturally to somebody, it might give you a weird look. Well, good luck with that, right? That's not true. Spiritually, it's not true. You could have been strong last year, but if you just do nothing, you start feeding on junk food, you start feeding on stuff that's corrupt, that has an effect. You start giving into your flesh, and feeding your flesh, and let your flesh do everything, and you start putting junk in your mind, let that junk in, your heart can be starved. People are starved spiritually, not had a good meal spiritually. Some people, their whole life, never had anything. Well, if you're feeling weak, and it's like, I can't do what I want to do, you know what the problem is? Your spirit man is weak. You know, your body's, there's somebody talking about this, but it's like this. If you're weak spiritually and your flesh wants to do something, your spirit man may say, hey, don't do that. And your flesh is like, shut up, I'm doing it anyway. Right?
But if you flip it the other way to where you've been nourishing and feeding on the Word of God and you're not letting stuff feed your flesh and looking at junk and letting stuff in and you starve that and you feed your spirit, it can be the other way around. Where your flesh says, I want to do this, and your spirit says, shut up, we're not doing that. I told you we're not doing that. We haven't looked at that. We're never looking at that. We're done. You're not putting that junk. We're not going there. You don't need to play that. How does that happen? How are you going to grow? We're going to put the word in. Speak the truth in love. That's why, and this is part of it right here. We read the word on our own, but what's going on? What did it say? Go over to, can you put Ephesians 4, 11? Back up. See, just like you need different things naturally to be fully strong spiritually, there's multiple facets to that. Right now, right here, he said, can you put Ephesians 4:11 back up, and you guys can look at it on your sheet. It said, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. How are we going to grow up? One of the ways is we need to hear the anointed word of God. Anointed means that the Spirit of God is on it moving. See, right now, as we're looking at the word, it's not just we're looking at the word. The Spirit of God is helping us to have utterance and unction, and he is speaking to spirits right now, to our hearts. You're hearing things I'm not saying because the Holy Spirit's quickening. What is that doing? It's building faith into you. That's how it comes, by the word of God. Your spirit is saying, because the word of God is what you feed on. It says, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. We need this. We need it. It's how we're going to grow. So we need to hear the truth. We need to act on the truth. We need to hear the word of God. Look at 2 Corinthians. Let's see. We want to go there. Now let's go to James. James. 1 verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask what? In faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. See, tell me again, faith is of what part of your being? It's of the heart. It's of the spirit. So you to be strong in faith, where do you doubt? We read in Mark 11:22, it says that if he does not doubt in his heart. See, you can doubt in your heart, you can doubt in your, or you can believe, have faith in your heart. Faith is of the heart. So here it says, let him ask in faith, no doubting. Well, how you're going to have the results of what you've been feeding on. That's why it's so important. This is where we've gotten to. That's why it's so important to guard your heart, to guard what you let in. It will hurt you. It can hurt your faith. You were strong in faith, but you start feeding on the wrong stuff. You may fend it off for a while, but you start getting weak. And then if you're waffling, see, you're strong, but then you're like, yeah, but that, and then you shift over to looking at the circumstance. You're like, no, but God, what is that? That's wavering. That's waffling. And the Bible says that one, let not that man suppose he'll receive anything because God's so mean. No, because you receive from God by faith. If it were up to God, everybody would be saved, everybody would be healed, it would be a done deal. See, people put it off on God so many times. Why isn't God doing this from me? God's not withholding. He has done everything he can do. He's sent Jesus. He's given us his word. But we have to believe what he's done. What is that? That's faith. How do you strengthen your faith? You got to focus on what he said. And when you start focusing on other junk or the circumstances, it affects you. And again, you start feeding that, your spirit could be saying, wait a minute, we want to do this, but it can get weak. This is where people, when you're facing something physically, you don't need to be focusing on the symptoms over and over. Now, I know there are symptoms that can be, you got to do it's everything you can to move it out of the way because it's in your face. But what do we, so how do we deal with that? We got to look at something that's not the symptom. What's that? The word. God said this, and feed ourselves and let that stay in our mind and not look at, well, yeah, but this is hurting. And the doctor said, if you look at that, that's how you get weak. That's how you waver. That's how you don't get results. Is it because God's just saying, well, just not going to do anything? No, it's not all up to God. God, we live in a fallen world. Satan is the god of this world. Don't have time to teach on that. Taught on before. We could turn to scripture. He is called the god of this world. And we have to yield. We have a free will. We have to yield to God. We have to yield to him. He cannot do things in this earth apart from men cooperating with him. Cannot. Which will answer a whole lot of questions. People think it's all God. No, no, no. People yield themselves to the wrong things. We need to yield ourselves and say, God, we got to invite him in. We have to agree with him. He is telling us, here is what I promised in my word, and we have to agree with what he said in spite of what we see. Well, how could you do that? How can you override what you're seeing? You have to be strong in your spirit. You have to be able to look at what he said. What is that called? That's called faith. We have to feed our faith. How do we do that? With the word of God. But this wavering, this waffling, if we find ourselves, and this is why people say, well, I'm just trying so hard to believe. I'm just trying. It's not about trying. Have we fed our heart? That'd be like, you know, you trying to lift, bench press 300 pounds, and you know, you can't do 100, but you're just going to try to ramp. Well, you need to feed your body, number one. You haven't fed your body for a year, any good food, and you're just like, well, I'm just going to get in there. I'm trying, it won't move. Well, what's the problem? You're not strong enough. Yeah, but I'm trying real hard. It's not going to cut it. If you understand, it's of your heart, so it's not of your head. You don't have to catch your head up. You just have to believe what God said and said, nope, I believe it. I believe this. I believe with my heart, not my head. I believe. I don't have to. My head's going, what? That's stupid. What? Shut up, head. I'm believing. Seriously, that's what you do. You don't know what you're talking about. You may know some things, but this has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. We got to push past that junk and say, no, I believe. With what? Your heart. Yeah, but I just don't get it with my head. So? And that's exactly what it's saying here. Let's go over. We're getting close. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Anything that comes up that is against what God said, against truth, you need to shut it down. Now, question, why would we expose ourselves to things that are against the truth? Now we have to cast it down. But what if we just never had to deal with it in the first place? Like we talked about. What if we just cut that junk out so we don't see it? So we don't hear it. Well, yeah, but I want to hear their theory. Yeah, their theory could hurt your faith. Is it opposed to what God said? Well, I'm just curious. Why? You got to ask yourself, do I need to be looking at this? Because, again, you know what? It's like what James said. If I'm trying to look at the Word of God, but now I got all this other junk in my mind and coming at me, I'm going to have to shut it down. And I don't want to let it in. See, it's going to come through your ears, through your eyes, through your brain, but that's the gateway to your heart. And why would we, I mean, it's like just, you know, this little poison that I'll just mix a little bit. It's not going to hurt me if it's just a little bit. Why take any? We got to be led. And we wonder, well, why am I weak? Well, what have you been feeding on? What are we feeding on? Do I need to look at that stuff? Do I need to think about it? Do I need to read that blog? Do I need to read that article? We talked a lot about this. But why? It can hurt your faith. Then we're trying to, something comes up in our life, and we're like, okay, I'm going to believe God, and you got all this junk rattling around. And your spirit man's like, I want it. No, we don't want that. We want it to be ready. We want our flesh to be like, okay, whatever you say. Our faith. If you're strong spiritually, you're strong in faith. If you're strong in faith, that means you believe God. You believe what He said. So when some circumstance comes up and it's contradictory to what God said, you say no. What God said will go. I believe Him. I don't believe this. If you're not strong, you'll say, oh, I'm just like the disciples. Oh my gosh, we're going down. I see that I'm going down. Because why? You're not looking at what God said. You're looking at all this other junk. But if you're strong spiritually, you'll be strong in faith, you'll say, nope, we're going over. Watch. God never loses. Like what we were talking about in the last series, the spirit of victory. We will win. God never loses. He'll lead us out of this. I know it looks bad, but it doesn't matter. He'll lead us right over. You watch. What is that? That's a strong spirit. That is faith. Faith in despite what we see.